Philippians chapter 1, just going to read a few verses. Philippians chapter 1, just reading some verses from verse 12. Just read from verse 12, Philippians chapter 1. Word of God says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For indeed, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. May God stamp with his own divine approval the public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence with us. We do thank thee, Lord, for these lovely old-fashioned gospel hymns that we have been singing together all about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee tonight that there's no other Savior other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee we can say tonight, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And Lord, we do thank thee tonight that we can say, I get so thrilled with Jesus every moment of the day. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He's the life, the truth, and the way. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He satisfies my longing soul. I get so thrilled with Jesus. He's the one who made me whole. Lord, tonight we say with the hymn writer, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Lord, bless us now as we wait on in thy presence. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, and shut us in with thyself, and center our thoughts upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for men and women born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Thank you, Lord, for the life that Jesus gives, more abundant. And bless us. And tonight, Lord, we pray that should there be one in our gathering still a stranger to grace and to God, that they may come to know our Savior as their own and personal Savior too. So be with us now, Lord, as we wait on in thy presence for Jesus' sake. Amen. And once again, I thank you very much for the invitation to come and to be with you and to give a word of personal testimony. I was giving my testimony a few years ago up in our church in Coleraine. And that night there were a lot of students who had just started university and they were from different parts of the world. And one of the elders, after the meeting, we were having a cup of tea, and he said to one of the wee girls, he says, "Now, did you understand what was happening?" Osha says, "Yes, he gave his history." And that's true. He's going to give our history. Now, I was born in 1900, and none of your business. Well, it doesn't really matter, for it was 65 at Christmas. And everybody knows. But no, I don't look 41, Mrs. I can't help that. I'm taking the Cliff Richard tablets. I'm keeping on. I'm doing my best. But I thank God that I was born into a Christian home. I was born in the month of December. But in 1948, in the year that I was born, there's a man in the city mission hall in the Donegal Road in Belfast. You may have heard of him. His name was John Girvan. He was a city missionary. He went on to become a Presbyterian minister and eventually the moderator of the Irish Presbyterian Church. And I think apart from Ian Paisley, I'm the only other minister, pre-Presbyterian, who is mentioned in his life story. And he was meant, my name's in it there because when I was born, my mother bought a beautiful pram, for she had a beautiful baby. And you say, what's happened? And oh, well, childhood was hard on me. But she bought this beautiful pram. But the trouble was, when she brought it home, she couldn't get it in the house. For we lived in a wee house on the Donegal Road. And Mr. Girvan, who had been a tradesman, and now he was a city missionary, but he came along with his saw and his hammers and his nails, and he shifted the stairs back a wee bit so that my mother could get the pram in for her new baby boy. But Mr. Girvan was very faithful in the preaching of the gospel. And in the month of September of 1948, my father came to know Christ as his own and personal Savior. And just some weeks after that, in the month of October, my mother, she came also as a sinner to Jesus. So when I was born a new baby into a new Christian home. And if young people here tonight, never despise or never treat it lightly. That's one of the most greatest privileges, to have a mum and a dad who know the Savior and who pray for their children that they may come early in life to Christ. Now these words that we have read tonight from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, he says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And when you talk about the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was, people always say, well, I would love a conversion experience like Saul of Tarsus, the man who was saved on the Damascus Road, the man who was turned completely around, and even to this very day, in this world, whether it be the newspapers or the television or the reporters, if someone in the political field or someone in the business world or someone in the sports world, if they have a dramatic change in their lives or change direction, the people call it a Damascus Road experience. And of course, Saul of Tarsus, his experience was a wonderful experience. He made a decision that was wise. And the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hated and whom he persecuted, and the saints of God whom he hated and persecuted, why, he came to know Christ and to love Christ and to serve him. Because one day the Lord met with him and he made a decision that was wise. Now every conversion may not be as dramatic as the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, but every conversion is as real. And whether it be a little child, as the old chorus says, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For if that child believeth on Christ the Son of God, that little child receiveth salvation through his blood. And whether it be some dear man or woman brought up in church, attending church, doing as many good deeds and good works as they can, having followed all the ceremonies and rituals of their church, or whether it be some poor, precious soul on the broad road out in the sins of this world. But thank God, every conversion is real, because we are born again of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again. Now, as I say, I was born into a Christian home. I was sent along to Sunday school and to church. I was in the boys' brigade, and I was in a lot of things. And I had to go to two Sunday schools. I used to go to the Donegal Road Methodist Church, to their Sunday school. That was the church to which my parents belonged. I had to go to Sunday school there. And then I had to go to a little Brethren Sunday school in Broadway Gospel Hall. I used to say to my mother, why have I had to go to two Sunday schools? All my friends only go to one. She said, in case you don't listen the first time, maybe you'll get it the second time. And of course, we had the Boys Brigade Bible class in the morning. Had our services, and some Sunday nights, we would make a trip, some of my friends and I, when we got a bit older, over to St. Simon's Parish Church, because the man there let you out at 5 to 8. It wasn't Pastor Lyle, or Fred Greenfield. And some days, a lot of times, you might have been down in the City Mission, where my parents still went on a Sunday night, or I went down many, many times to Apsley Street, Elam Pentecostal Church. I was really ecumenical. And if you want to know anything about the ecumenical movement, you come and talk to me after the meeting. So I was here, there, and yonder. In fact, one night I was at a meeting and I was singing, and it was pretty lively. And Dr. Paisley looked at me, he says, Greenfield, he says, I think you're a lapsed Pentecostal. I says, not so much of a lapsed. Thank you. But you know, I was sent along to church and Sunday school and missions. And I knew the gospel. When I look back at my life, I can't think that there was ever a time that I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I needed to have the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart as my own and personal Savior. That if I wanted to get to heaven, that I needed to come to know Christ as my own and personal Savior. A young man in our Boys Brigade company, he now pastors a very large church out in California, Church of All Nations. And Alan got saved. And in the Boys Brigade, we called him the vicar because he got saved. And he was very faithful in his witness and his personal testimony to the other boys in the BB company. And I remember one night, he said to me, Fred, would you come to hear a man called Willie Mullen? He's given his testimony and he's preaching. And I said, all right, I'll go. And I went down to a meeting place in Belfast, down with Alan. And I heard Pastor Willie Mullen testify and preach. And he preached about the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he talked about one being taken and one being left behind. And I remember it spoke to me because I realized if the Lord were to come and my parents would go to be with Christ, I would be left. And I remember as a young boy going home from that meeting. And in my bedroom, I took the Bible and I read through the whole book of Revelation. And I was trying to find out something more. I'm trying to learn something more about the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And remember, in the middle of the night, I was still thinking about these things. And I remember getting up and going in to my mother and father's bedroom and having a wee look to see, just to make sure they were still there, in case they had been taken and I'd been left. Because I knew the gospel. And I knew I needed to be saved. If I ever wanted to get to heaven, I would have to come and receive Christ as my Savior. But I love music. Mightn't be able to play very good, mightn't be able to sing very good, but I love music. And I loved the pop music of the Death, the Rolling Stones, and the Beatles, and all the others. Cockroaches, whatever they call them. In those days, way back in the good old days, and I've maybe lost a lot of people here, but I know the older folk, I know, if you wanted to hear the top 10, you had to tune in the radio to Radio Luxembourg. The trouble was, the top 10 was on a Sunday night. I think it was 5 o'clock. So every Sunday, Come in here at 5 o'clock. I had the transistor radio, and I took a great burden for exercise. And I walked out and went for a walk, for we lived on the Donegal Road. And I went what over the call, the Bog Meadows. And I listened to the top 10, because if my father had have caught me listening to the top 10 on the Lord's Day, he would have took off the belt and had applied it to the seat of learning, and I would have got the message as it did sometimes. So I had to get away. And I remember there was a program on the television, again, Give Me Age Away, and there's a man called Bert Wheaton. He's a great guitar player. And he used to give you one chord every week. Musicians will know all about that. So I used to sit with a notebook. I was learning the accordion. But I used to sit with a notebook, mark the chord down as the chord of C. I have to wait till next week to get the chord of F. And then the following week, you'll maybe get the chord of G7. So you're sitting there with your guitar and you were singing, "Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam." After next week, you could sing "Where the Deer and the Antelope Play." But you had to wait. It was in installments. And I started to play the guitar. And my cousin of mine and his sister, we used to sing together. Now, Billy and I weren't great singers, but Jean was a good singer. And she used to harmonize, and we used to sing in different places. And we loved the music. And it's funny, you know, the music. I remember one night we were kicking football over in the Bog Meadows. There's an old football pitch over there. A number of boys were over at the Bog Meadows kicking football, and we heard this music. And it was beautiful music. And it was actually coming from Windsor Park Football Stadium. And it was Billy Graham in his crusade, and the choir was singing. And we actually stopped kicking football, and we sat down, and we began to listen. And we could hear the beautiful soloist and the lovely pieces like, "I'd love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so kind and true." But as I loved the music, and Billy and myself and his sister Jean, we used to sing in different places, competitions, talent contests and all the rest of it. Made up a few silly names for ourselves. Tried to make the big. Now, we should have made the big time. We couldn't sing, weren't good looking. We should have been top of the hip parade. And then Billy and I decided to get into the real heavy pop music. And we had another group. We called it Carlo and the Gravediggers. That was a good group to be in, wasn't it? Because, you see, we just loved the music. It's funny how different things happen in your life. And people come across your path. And I was never one who loved school. I loved when the bell went, it was time to get home. And I remember when I left school, I don't know who was more relieved, me or the teachers. But I left school and I started to work, and I thought, this is it now. Started to work in a factory in Belfast. And I remember I thought, I'll be able to do what I want now. Getting older now. The big fella. Do as I please. Started to work. But you in that factory, there was a gospel meeting. And there were some people in that factory, some Baptists, say amen, amen, some Free Presbyterians, some Brethren folk, some people from other churches. And they had a prayer meeting one day at lunchtime. And then they had a gospel meeting every Friday at lunchtime in the canteen. I remember going into the factory and meeting with these people. One of them was actually a cousin of mine. And I thought to myself, oh no, not again. Here we go again. We know all about the gospel. We've been brought up in it. We've been at meeting after meeting, mission after mission. And then my cousin said to me, would you come over some night to Ravenhill, old Ravenhill, Free Presbyterian Church, he says, and hear Dr. Paisley. I says, catch yourself on. Did he not start all the trouble? That's what I thought. And Jim says, come over to hear the gospel. Come over. And eventually one night, myself and my cousin Billy, we were going to another place. But I said to Jim, we'll go with you. And that was on the 21st of February, 1965. I went into Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. They said, I've been brought up in the gospel. And I knew the way of salvation. But apart from that night when I heard Willie Mullen preaching about the second coming, this was the second time, as it were, really, when I heard the gospel preached with real power and authority. And you know, I can't remember much about the sermon, but I remember one text that Dr. Paisley quoted. And it was a text from the book of Genesis that said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I remember as a young fellow sitting up in the gallery and the church was packed and that verse of scripture came home to my heart and I thought about my life and I thought about the faithfulness of my parents and teaching me the way of salvation and sending me to church and sending me to Sunday school. And I thought, what would happen tonight if God would stop speaking to me? If God would stop striving with my soul, I realized I would be lost. And I remember, I tried not to think about it. And I put my hand into my coat pocket. And I started to fiddle about with the contents of my pocket. And I pulled out something. It was a Boys Brigade membership card. A little booklet. Now, if you ask someone about the BB, they'll probably tell you, well, the motto was sure and steadfast. That's right, the motto was sure and steadfast. But on the Boys Brigade membership card, it says, for the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then the preacher mentioned that verse again. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And I was reading, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I was hearing, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I made a decision. A decision that was wise, just as Paul made a decision on the Damascus Road. I said, I need to get saved. I need to get right with God. I remember going down the stairs that night in Old Ravenhill, and I went to go into a wee inquiry room that they had for people who wanted to be saved, and it was full up. And I remember one of the deacons said to me, son, he says, go in there. He put me into the kitchen. And I remember sitting down on a seat in the kitchen in Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. And the tears were coming down my cheeks. And then the door opened and in came my young cousin Billy, who had been with me to the meeting. Not known to me, he had put his hand up on the appeal as well. He came out and I remember hearing Dr. Paisley's voice at the door of the kitchen saying, I'll talk to these young men first. And he came in and he talked to us. And he opened the Bible and he showed us our need of a Savior and how that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on the old rugged cross of Calvary. And if we would repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in him, that he would save us and make us children of God. He did that. We knelt down at an old seat in the kitchen. Used to be a wee song, curtain in the kitchen. And people do a lot of cooking in the kitchen. But thank God, I was converted in the kitchen of Old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian. Every time I drive down the Ravenhill Road and I pass that wee church, you know, I think about that hymn that Willie McRae sings. When my heart goes back to that old place where I prayed, I know that I've been born again. And I do. And I thank God for that night. You know, Paul made a decision that was wise. He says, for to me to live is Christ. He took Christ as his own and personal Savior. But from the moment he was saved on the Damascus Road until the day that he died a martyr's death, he served the Lord Jesus Christ And he did it with a dedication that was wonderful. He made a decision that was wise, and he had a dedication that was wonderful. Now, can I be like Paul? I couldn't serve the Lord as he did, such a mighty man of God and faithful minister of the gospel, faithful missionary of the cross, man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God gave us much of our New Testament. What a mighty man was the Apostle Paul. Well, listen, I've tried to serve him. When I went home and told my parents, they were delighted. Remember, they bought me a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And they wrote that wee text in the front of it, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I wasn't very long saved, and I wanted to serve the Lord. And I started in the children's meeting, playing the accordion, helping out, going to the open-air meetings. And I'm still doing open-air meetings, nearly 50 years later. Started then trying to preach, giving my testimony around the meetings. Used to be in the open-air meeting with her brother. You'll be hearing from him, Ronnie McCracken. Ronnie McCracken and Raymond McCoon and others. We used to have open-air meetings in Sandy Row and on the Shankill and in Newton Ars and in front of the City Hall in Belfast. Precious souls were saved. And we sought to serve the Lord, and I felt called into the ministry of the Word of God. I went one night to our brother, Mr. Tom Lewis. He was going away to the mission field, he and his wife, Doreen. And I went to his farewell service, and the preacher was preaching from the book of Ezekiel. And many of my friends had gone to Bible college, some of them gone to be missionaries. I was wondering, does the Lord want me to go to the mission field? I remember asking the Lord to speak to me that night in the meeting. And you know, as the Word of God was preached in the book of Ezekiel, I have not sent thee unto a people of a strange speech or of a hard language. And I believe with all my heart that God was calling me to be a preacher even to our own people. And I applied, studied, was ordained to the ministry in 1971. I was 42 years ordained to the Christian ministry there in December. And I look back over my life and thank God for His mercy and His grace and His providence. We were married in 71, then I was ordained in 71. God gave us 3 children. Now we have 12 grandchildren. Thank God our family is saved. Some of our grandchildren are saved. And we're praying for the other little ones that when they come to know their right hand from their left and to the ears of understanding, that they will come to know the Savior, that they'll serve Him. You know, some people think that the Christian life is a dull life. You know, Paul writes here in this chapter, and he talks about the great hope that he has. You know, if you have no hope, you are of all men and women most miserable. But Paul says, my earnest expectation and my hope, I have a hope, thank God, that's steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. He goes on to speak there about his rejoicing in verse 20, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. He talks about the joy of faith in believing the Lord Jesus. He talks about the glory of God's salvation. That's a wonderful thing. Paul made a decision that was wise. And he served the Lord with a dedication that was wholehearted. You know, if you want to be a Christian and you want to do something for God, do it with all your heart. Don't be half-hearted about it. Give heart and soul and mind and voice to serve Christ, the King of Kings. When Paul died, he went to a destination that was wonderful. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul could look back over his life, and as he wrote to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," he said, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul knew that it was well with his soul. And then when he closed his eyes in death on this scene of time, he would open them in God's heaven. He'd be absent from the body, and he would be present with the Lord for all of God's eternity. And I wonder tonight in our meeting, what will your final destination be? Paul had a destination that was wonderful. Jesus said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The apostle writes and he says, "There is an inheritance. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It is reserved in heaven for you." For who? "For you who are kept by the power of God through faith." The apostle says, "Our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, but God hath prepared for them that love him." You see, heaven is real. There is an eternity. And men and women will spend eternity either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. And what an awful tragedy for a man or woman to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to go out to a lost eternity. That verse in the Bible that is so well known, John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible that tells us about God's love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That verse that tells us of the opportunity and the grace of God and the love of God bringing men and women to Christ. But it gives us a warning. It says, "Whosoever believeth shall not perish." See, the Bible says that in a lost eternity, there is the fearful and the unbelieving. I look back in my life. Thank God for being born in a Christian home. Thank God for those who taught me the way of salvation. And I think back to 1965. I have a twin brother in the meeting tonight. Didn't know that. When Ian Paisley was leading me to the Lord in Old Raven Hill Free Presbyterian Church, William Mullen was leading Clifford Jenks to the Lord in Windsor Avenue. Amen. Doesn't matter who we are, what we are, what our background is, whether we're educated or illiterate, whether we're rich or whether we're poor. But the Bible says, "Whosoever will may come and partake of the water of life freely." I thank God, I know that it's well with my soul. And I have the assurance that my sins are forgiven and they're all washed away through the precious blood of Christ. Friend, what about you? Can you say, "Thank God, Fred, I'm going to a destination that's wonderful"? Do you know Christ as your own and personal Savior? The old gospel hymn, it says, "Have you a heart that's weary, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way." Jesus was passing this way in 1965. I stretched out the hand. I cried like Bartimaeus of old, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me." and I was saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way tonight. You know, the old hymn says, only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come on thy sin confessing to Christ the Savior God. Only a step, come, he waits for thee. Come on thy sin confessing, thou shalt receive the blessing, but do not reject the mercy he freely offers thee. Dear friend, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. If we can help you in any way, Pastor Lyle or myself or many other Christians here tonight would love just to show you from this book, the Word of God, God's way of salvation. How you can be saved. And how you can know that you're saved. And how you can be sure that you're saved. And how you can know that you have a destination that's wonderful. That when the end of life's journey comes, it'll be for you to be absent from the body, to be at home and immediately present with the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and testimony to all our hearts. We're going to just have a wee word of prayer before we sing a closing hymn. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for all thy goodness to us, for thy presence with us. Bless thy word that has gone forth in weakness. Lord, may some text of Scripture that is spoken just find a resting place in the human heart, that some dear man or woman may come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, how we thank thee that sinners Jesus will receive. We sound the word of grace to all, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to join together.